What do you suppose piddling little families with only 5 or 6 children do with themselves?
They're instant priorities. You know you have to protect them and provide for them.
You've given me a massive headache. Teach
your children well. It doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes an army.
The hospital made us take it home.
We'll look back on moments like these as the happiest in our lives.
It Takes a Parent with Betsy Hart is brought to you by the Huntington Learning Center of Lake Villa and True North Mortgage Corporation of Arlington Heights. You can meet Betsy's sponsors at betsysblog.com.
It's May, June is coming up, and that means it's the season for weddings. And friend and producer Lynn, I just have to ask you, what choreographed dance did you and Eric perform at your wedding? Because I'm sorry, I don't remember.
You're kidding, aren't you? Have you ever seen him dance?
Well, actually, that's a good point. But apparently you know, Lynn, you're not with the trend here. Of course, you got married quite a while ago, but... If only you'd waited, think what you could be doing. Because as the Wall Street Journal reports, for more and more weddings, the first dance spins out of control. Newlyweds are trading stage numbers for Broadway choreography and backup dancers. Michael Jackson's career may be hanging by a thread, wrote Jennifer Serenow, but his 1983 hit Thriller is enjoying a revival among some unlikely fans. Newlyweds Jimmy and Jocelyn Tsai performed a faithful rendition of the dance moves from the video, with all 10 members of their wedding party joining in as dancing zombies. One other groom said about his dance, "We are trying to make it our own little Vegas show." And apparently what they're doing, Lynn, is they are bringing in choreographers to stage elaborate dances because weddings are just another look-at-me competition. At least that's the way our culture is today. We'll be talking more about that, along with destination weddings. And I just have to say, I think it's a little too look at me, no matter how inconvenienced or annoyed or repulsed you might be. Anyway, you are listening to AM 1160 WYLL, It Takes a Parent. I am here with friend and producer Lynn Carlson. While other shows focus on what's going on in the world, we focus on what's going on in your world, your home, our homes. It's a show for families whose ultimate goal for their kids is heaven, not Harvard. A little while later in the show, we're going to be talking to my friend David Stahl, who's the head of the Promised Land Ministry at Willow Creek Community Church, talking about connecting with our kids this summer, both spiritually and personally. So I'm excited to have him on the show and chat with him. But I just have to go back to this outrageous new trend of choreography and these elaborate dance numbers. Here's what Jennifer Serenow reports. Weddings have long been a competitive sport, but in the latest effort to stand out and to get their wedding videos noticed on YouTube, some couples are putting a new spin on the stage tradition of the first dance. No longer satisfied with an old school waltz, some couples are taking as many as 50 dance lessons to develop over-the-top routines that become the focal point of the reception. Wedding attendants are being dragged in as supporting cast members and forced to attend multiple dance rehearsals to learn their parts. During the planning stages of an Austrian folk dance modeled on a scene from The Sound of Music, one bride, or I would call her a bridezilla, forced her bridesmaids and bridegroom and groomsmen to attend 4 3-hour practices. She chose 2 alternates from among the wedding invitees and asked them to learn the dance too. So when one of her groomsmen bowed out because he was sick, she basically kicked him out of the cast, brought in the other guy, and the show went on. Because, Lynn, that's what these weddings are. They're shows. They're not about marriages.
I thought you were kidding. When you started to read this piece, I thought you were joking.
No, it is not a joke.
I mean, it's one thing to tell your bridesmaid, here, spend $200 on this pink taffeta dress because you'll wear it again.
We've all heard that, right? The biggest
lies ever told in a wedding. But now, so not only do they have to do that, now they're going to have to spend exorbitant amounts of time and possibly even money on dance choreographing so that they do everything right on it really adds a new dimension to it's all about me.
Right. And this other trend, although I don't know if couples do this at the same time is, you know, the other trend in weddings is destination weddings. And that's something like 30% of all weddings now are destination weddings. And that's when you make your guests spend countless sums of money to go to some faraway place to put their kids either in some sort of care or bring them with. And, you know, you're paying them a lot of bills the whole time that you're there. And this is all at the bride and groom's behest so that you can focus on them for days at a time. And I have to say, I'm just a little bit put off by this. I'm just wondering, can you do one of these choreographed affairs at a destination wedding?
Because
I'm
sure you can choreograph the wedding in Maui. But really, the destination wedding thing, that really does concern me from the standpoint of, I feel like if you're not going to pay for all of your guests to come to your wedding, and you know, who does that? Nobody.
Right.
You're really not taking into account that the exorbitant cost it would take to, you know, have your loved ones fly out to Maui so that you can get married on the beach with your toes in the sand.
Yeah, and you know what? It occurs to me is that the wedding now is just about me. There used to be an understanding when it came to marriage, it was about a commitment with the community, with your family, before God. It was a big deal because it wasn't just about you. But now what these weddings do, with these ridiculous choreographed dances in these destination spots, it's not about the community at all. It's not about what's good for the community or being part of the community. It's all about me. And I think for brides and grooms listening who might be offended by what I'm saying, good. Focus on your marriage, not on the big show of the day. And Lynn, I just have to ask you a favor. If I ever actually do get married again, and I go to you and I start to present to you your part in the dance at my wedding, Can you just tell me to, you know, put down the phone, fire the choreographer, and step away?
Oh,
okay,
job. I'll shut you down quickly. No worries.
I appreciate that. Well, there's other stuff going on this summer, too, not just weddings. A lot of us with young kids aren't thinking about getting married. We're thinking about how to build relationships with our children this summer. We're thinking about how to build them up, not just personally, but hopefully spiritually. And we're soon going to have a lot more time on our hands. And in some ways, that can be a little bit stressful, too. Well, here to talk about all of that with us is David Stahl. David is the director of the Promised Land Ministry at Willow Creek Community Church. He's my good friend. David does an amazing job bringing in thousands of children every week to Willow Creek Community Church and really carefully working on drawing them to Christ. And what that program does is amazing. I'm delighted to have been a part of it in some small ways. I'm delighted to have David here with me today. He's also the author of Leading Your Child to Jesus, Leading Kids to Jesus, terrific books. David Stahl, welcome to It Takes a Parent. We are delighted to have you on the show.
Well, it's a pleasure to be with you today, Beth.
Well, thanks very much. And, you know, you and I have talked about this stuff, and I've even called you and said, gosh, you know, David, this is going on, or what's a way to reach my child when it comes to this issue, or how do I work with my kids and help them to become better prayers and that kind of thing. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to have you on and talk with us a little bit today about summer's coming up. And I know you have some great ideas for things you like to do with your kids and to think of summer not just as a time off, but as a time for building relationships. And I love that. And I wanted you to share some of your principles with the audience if it takes a parent.
Yeah, you know, the summer months offer some incredible opportunities just because kids aren't going to school. There's a lot of time to be had and all that, but it's a matter of how are you going to use it, because so many summers it seems like all of a sudden you wake up and it's August and school's going to start Monday and you wonder, where did the summer go?
Right.
So when I'm asked, what can we do this summer, I have a couple ideas that seem to have worked, and all of these I've just sort of stumbled into myself. But one is...
Just tell us what works. I don't care how you got there. I don't care if you stumbled. I don't care if you walked. I don't care if you ran. I just need to know, and my listeners need to know what works.
Well, here's one thing that'll definitely work, because as school winds down, teachers and the actual school itself will probably suggest to kids and to parents to make sure that kids read over the summer.
Right.
That's pretty universal, and it does do kids a lot of good to make sure that they read all summer long. Well, why not have them read books of the Bible? You know, there's some great action stories in the Bible,
sure.
Great action-filled books. If they're going to be reading anyhow, I say don't have a summer devoted all to Nancy Drew mystery books. Weave in books of the Bible and then talk with your kids about what they're reading. Here's what I do. When my kids are reading a particular book of the Bible over the summer, I'll read the same book.
Okay, so then you can talk to them.
Yeah, and then ask them, okay, what have you been reading, and what do you think that means, and just striking up conversation that way. But again, it's sharpening their reading skills, which the schools and the teachers will love you for, and it's all
even though it's religious books, that's okay.
Yeah. So we do that. Also, another thing that we do that's somewhat related is when we go on vacation. You know, a lot of families go on vacations during the summer. Mm-hmm. What I do is I give it some thought ahead of time as far as having a verse or a few verses from the Bible that we will focus on as a family while we're on vacation, because there's always time in a hotel room, in a tent, in an RV or wherever, where you have time for conversation. And what we do is I just have a note card for each day, and I say, okay, here's a verse. Let's all read this verse out loud. And then let's talk about it in pieces as far as what it means. And so we'll read the verse, and then I'll ask my kids, so what do you think that means? Why did Jesus say that? Whatever. One of my favorite ones that we did was from Mark chapter 12, 29 through 31, where Jesus talks about the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And I said, what do you think he meant by that? What do you think the Bible means by that? And you know what? It's a great conversation. Sometimes it's a great conversation that lasts about 13 seconds.
That's where I was wondering, like, is this a real time-consuming thing? I mean, the kids are sort of thinking, well, we want to ride the roller coaster tomorrow, and we want to get our hot fudge sundaes. And, you know, does this work to kind of bring that into that whole mix? You're saying they're not so distracted that they can't enjoy some of that time, too.
Yeah, you know, and that's the art of parenting as far as weaving it into some spot where you're going to be having conversation anyhow. You know, I don't suggest people saying, okay, we're going to cut out the fun for a moment. Family devotional.
You know, no Sundays for you today. We're studying Mark 12.
Yeah.
And if you don't, we're not going to throw a big wedding for you.
No choreography for you.
And it's not going to be in Maui.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, here's the reality of if you're on vacation and, you know, you're waiting for dessert to come to the table or whatever, you can have a conversation then when you're all sitting around getting ready to, go to dinner or right before bed or whatever. There's times where if you're thinking, when do I have 3 minutes where we could have a conversation? And if it goes longer, we'll delay whatever we had planned to have a discussion about Mark 12:29.
Okay.
Just don't make a bigger deal of it than it needs to be, but be ready for some profound conversations, because it really does work. I call it taking a verse on vacation.
Very good. Yeah, because sometimes your kids really can surprise you. Even my 5-year-old will come up with these amazing questions where I have to stop and look at her and kind of say, where did that come from? So, and David, one of the other, point is that you and I were talking about, and I thought this was so helpful, is to not link the church calendar with the school calendar. I love that. Can you explain that one?
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of times parents will decide that during the summer we can get a little lax as far as going to church because, hey, it's summer vacation, school's done, and all that. Well, what happens is that when your church attendance pattern changes and goes down during the summer, what happens in the mind of a kid is they equate going to church with going to school. And so I think that is a contributing factor to the reality that everybody in church work knows, and that is that when kids turn 18 and they stop going to school and they leave home, all of a sudden they stop going to church too. That's because they have been linked as far as, well, when it's school season, it's church season. When we don't go to school, mm-hmm. we don't go to church. So I encourage parents from an early age, just because it's summer, don't stop attending church. Continue your regular church attendance pattern. Yeah, you'll leave and go on vacation for a couple weekends during the summer. That's fine. But show your kids, teach your kids what's really important no matter what season of the year it is, and that is going to church.
Excellent. Excellent. I love those points. I'd like to put them up and credit you on my blog and betsysblog.com. And if you can stay with us for just a couple more minutes when we come back, I want to ask you, David Stahl, how do you keep your kids from driving you crazy when they're home all the time over the summer? You are listening to AM 1160 WYLL, It Takes a Parent. Please be sure to visit my blog, betsysblog.com. Among other things, that's where you can tell us you'd like to come to breakfast with Betsy at the Huntington Learning Center in Lake Villa on June 9th. I'd love to meet you and sign a copy of my book for you, It Takes a Parent. So go to betsysblog.com. You can also tell me about the show, get in touch with me, get a podcast of the show. But do come back, because I know I'm standing by for David Stahl's advice, because I've got about 10 long weeks coming up. So stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to It Takes a Parent.
True North Mortgage is an equal housing lender and Illinois residential mortgage licensee.
True North Mortgage, providing direction in residential financing.
From the beginning of my application inquiry through and beyond the closing, True North Mortgage was there with me, answering all my questions and concerns.
They analyzed my particular life situation and provided me with a lending choice that made the most sense for me, giving me peace of mind well after the closing.
You don't want to regret your mortgage decision. It's a long-term commitment. True North Mortgage will give you direction and will help you save time and money by shopping for the most competitive rate for your lending needs. True North has access to 250 different national lenders. And for a limited time, True North will provide WYLL listeners with free appraisals. At closing, up to $250 credit will be given to cover appraisal fees. Call Gene or Leslie at 847-621-3800. That's 847-621-3800.
When your child says,
"Why do I need to learn this?"
The truth is,
"I don't understand it."
When your child says,
"I don't like school."
The truth is,
"Everybody reads better than I do."
When your child says,
"Who cares about college?"
The truth is,
"I have bad grades."
Recognize the signs. Call Huntington Learning Center at 1-800-CAN-LEARN to help your child do better in school. The truth is, Huntington can help. Your child can learn. Call now, 1-800-CAN-LEARN.
Huntington Learning Center is now open in Lake Villa. Right now, get a $200 evaluation for your child for only $75. Find out if your child is on track or needs a little bit of help. The $75 evaluation is only valid at the Huntington Learning Center of Lake Villa. Call Karen at 847-395-6741 to make your appointment today. 847-395-6741. Huntington Learning Center of Lake Villa on the southwest corner of Deep Lake Road and Grass Lake Road in the Tower Lakes Crossing Strip Mall. 847-395-6741. 41.
We are back with David Stahl, director of the Promised Land Ministry at Willow Creek Community Church. You are listening to It Takes a Parent with Betsy Hart, AM 1160 WYLL. And I'm here in studio with my friend and producer, Lynn Carlson. I know we are taking notes, Dave, as you're talking, because between us, we've got 9 kids and 10 long weeks coming up. We've only got a few more minutes with you. And I want to hear, how do you talk to moms who are home most of the time? During the summer, that can get, you know, a little housebound, shall we say, when you've got all these kids around. What are some tips you have for us?
You know, one of the places that my wife and I have started to focus on is giving our kids a substantial project to tackle for the summer.
Okay.
And I'll be real specific on this one. My son and daughter this summer have been challenged with painting the inside of our garage.
Beautiful.
And it's white right now. They're going to paint it white again.
And okay.
You can't ruin white. Okay.
That's right.
And,
yep.
What happens is that they have the responsibility to figure out how to get it done between the two of them. My wife and I aren't going to supervise. We're not going to do anything other than open up the cans of paint and help them wash the brushes afterwards. But during that time, what happens is they have to figure out how to budget their time, how to attack the project, how to work together, and importantly, because I am paying them to do this, a little bit of money, they need to figure out how to not spill the paint, because I'm going to deduct pay for every spill spot they have. But what happens is it gives them a very substantial thing to work on and occupies them in a real healthy way. They learn that if they work hard, you get paid for it, and that's the way life works. And they also learn how to get along. They learn how to accomplish something. There's all sorts of great lessons. What it takes, though, is just a little advanced planning on our parts to say, what are some projects that are age-appropriate that they can handle, but that they can handle on their own, that don't require me or my wife or a parent at all to help with? Those are the ones where kids will surprise you with how much they can accomplish and how much fun they have feeling like they're responsible for something.
And then they get to feel proud of what they've done. They can see that they've worked together. They've contributed to the home. Can your kids come over and paint the inside of my garage?
Oh, my gosh. How old are your kids, Dave, the two that are doing this project?
Yeah, just wait to see how well they do.
All right.
Dave, how old are your two kids that are going to do this project?
My son is 13 and my daughter's 10.
And you're saying that they have to work together to figure out how to paint the garage. Do you anticipate any fighting between them?
No, I don't, because actually this is the second time that they've done it. So they did it a year ago also, and they figured out real quickly that if they fight, they waste time and they're more likely to spill paint. So we just tell them, listen, if you fight, you're not going to get paid either. Some would say, hey, Dave, you're paying them for good behavior. And I say, no, I'm preparing them for the real world.
Yep.
Because guess what? If you go into work and you start fighting with people, that paycheck isn't coming then either.
Oh, fantastic. David, great suggestions. Like I said, Lynn and I are taking notes. We think you should hire your kids out in the neighborhood. If I could get mine to work together and do a project like that, I think we'd really be onto something. David Stahl, Director of Promised Land Ministry at Willow Creek Community Church, thanks so much for spending some time with us today. I hope I'll be talking to you before summer, but I sure hope you have a great one. It sounds like you're set up to do just that.
Thank you, Dave.
You too. Betsy, Lynn, great. Thanks a lot for having me.
Oh, terrific. Thanks for coming on the show. Okay, so I'm taking notes and thinking there's not going to be any painting going on at my house. So, you know, but it doesn't have to be that. I like Dave's idea of finding some project that kids can do together, not just clean the basement, but maybe my older ones could, for instance, be responsible for matching up all the DVDs, VHS tapes, and their boxes, for instance. I mean, I think sometimes when I really lowball my kids. I really don't think that they can do some of the things that, you know what, they really probably can do if I just give them some direction and some responsibility.
Oh, I know I'm so guilty of this. I mean, in the summertime, I have this little chore chart.
This is where I got it from. And I love your job chart.
And I print out my little chore chart, and then because they're kind of like everything that needs to get done each day. And then I just assign a kid to it, and then they wake up and do it. But what I don't do, and I love Dave's suggestion about having kids work together. I never do that. And you know, the honest truth of that is because
we're afraid they're going to fight and make it harder on us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And what Dave tells me is, you know what? If they fight, he doesn't get involved. See, I get pulled into the job of the referee. Mm-hmm. And I need to take note of what Dave said. And I'm going to give them some jobs this year where they have to work together. And I'm going to refuse the job of referee.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's really hard. I mean, sometimes it is just so much easier to do it ourselves than to make sure the kids either do it right or do it thoughtfully or do it without killing each other. And, you know, maybe, you know, this is giving us some encouragement that, you know what, we can assign them some chores. And I think what he's saying is you have to think through what that looks like. You can't have them, you know, putting on a new roof.
That's right.
You know, maybe we'll get to a point when we can do it. But look, when I was little, I don't know about you, but we were shoveling driveways, doing the grass. My brothers had to paint the house. They had to change those nice little old-fashioned things called storm windows.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that really created an environment that was very positive. Anyway, I know I'm going to be putting up a whole lot of resources on my website. Go to betsysblog.com. I'm going to put up Dave's three-point suggestions, his idea about the project, and lots of books and summer reading for parents and kids that I really like that I think can help draw parents and kids closer together, help us build each other up spiritually, and give some moms and dads some encouragement for those 10 long weeks that lie ahead.
And maybe Dave would consider taking a couple of our kids into his home with him and having them do specific jobs.
I love it. Oh, goodness. Friends, we are out of time. Hey, I'd love to meet you on June 9th at the Huntington Learning Center in Lake Villa. I'd love to sign a free copy for you of my book, It Takes a Parent, which I'll do for the first 10 folks who sign up. So please come to Breakfast with Betsy, and you can find out more about our wonderful sponsors, to the Huntington Learning Center of Lake Villa and True North Mortgage Corporation of Arlington Heights at betsysblog.com. You can also get a podcast of the show and find all these resources we're talking about today. Join us next Thursday at 2 when we're going to be talking to David Briggs from the Good Sense Ministry at Willow Creek Community Church. What a great resource they are. And before that, he was at General Electric. And we're going to talk about a whole lot of things, how to think wisely about money and why too many parents and kids sacrifice too much to go to an elite school, which isn't going to help them in the real world. So do be sure to come back with us and be here next week at 2. And finally, brothers, as Paul said to the Philippians, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You've been listening to It Takes a Parent on AM 1160 WYLL. Have a great week.